Well, if you turn, please, now to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And our text is found in verses 9 and 10. We have here the prayer of a man called Jabez. We read here, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." This day is a day that is set apart in our Reformed tradition for prayer, for crops, and for industry. Indeed, that is something that we ought always to pray for. The Lord taught us in the Lord's Prayer to pray daily for our daily bread. But as we approach spring and as the farmers are preparing to sow, we come at this time to the Lord to ask for his blessing upon the sowing and the harvest time. As we said in the prayer, we sometimes and maybe often take this for granted, but without food, we don't live. And this time, this process, this sowing and this harvest are so essential to our living. But what is essential above all is that the Lord's blessing would be upon this. We come to the Lord then to pray for his blessing because we believe that there is a God in heaven. Unlike the world today that simply takes this for granted, we believe that there is a God in heaven, a God who can bless, and a God who can withhold his blessing if he so pleases. We come and we pray to the Lord, to the one who promised all these thousands of years ago to Noah after the flood, the God who promised that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. The Lord has been faithful all these years to this promise. And that then extends, that prayer for blessing extends to all our work, to all our labor. Whatever vocation we have, the great thing that we need is the blessing of the Lord upon it. And so you see, when we're praying to the Lord for his blessing, for his favor, for his help, we are acknowledging that yes, we are to pray for our temporal needs, as the Lord has taught us to pray, to give us this day our daily bread. But we're also praying and we're also acknowledging that the great thing we need is to have the Lord's spiritual blessing in all this. That if we eat, we eat unto the Lord. That if we drink, we're drinking to the glory of the Lord. That when we work, we're working to the glory of the Lord. That whatever we do, we're doing to the glory of the Lord. There is therefore a particular emphasis, and we'll see that here in this prayer upon spiritual blessings in these things. The Lord Jesus said in John 6:27, "Labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that meat that endures unto everlasting life." That's the same Lord who taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And he says in these well-known words in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So what we're saying here is that these two things really have to come together. The material needs that we need, we're to pray for, but we're to seek that the Lord would add his blessing to them. Because it's the blessing of the Lord in these things and on these things that make rich and add no sorrow to it. And here we have, as it were, tucked away in this genealogy, a prayer, a remarkable prayer, really, of this pious man called Jabez. Now, Jabez, in one way, we don't know very much about. These are the only two verses in the whole Bible in which he is mentioned. And so at one level, we know very little about Jabez. But yet, at the same time, in these two verses, there is so much that is here that we can say in another way, we know a lot about Jabez. And certainly what Jabez and his prayer are bringing to our attention here is that the blessing of the Lord is essential to a true and a proper enjoyment of all the blessings of this life. So let's first of all then look at Jabez's gracious character. You see that in verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." The name Jabez means sorrow or pain or grief. And the Jabez's mother, we don't know her name, but we're told that she calls him Jabez because she bare him in sorrow or in pain. Now, of course, that's true, isn't it, of all mothers who bear children, that they bear children in pain. But it seems here that there was a special pain, an extra pain, because the Bible also says that when a child is born, that the mother soon forgets the pain because of the joy that she has that a man child has been born unto her. And yet here, this mother, most likely at the time of Jabez's circumcision, some eight days later, is calling him then Jabez. She still remembers the pain in this extraordinary way. It reminds us, doesn't it, of Rachel. You remember Rachel calls Benjamin Benoni, the son of my sorrow. And then Rachel died. And some suggest that this mother of Jabez almost died from the birth. And so she calls him Jabez. She calls him pain or sorrow. And that brings before us, it reminds us, doesn't it, of the fall. It reminds us of our fall in Adam. It reminds us of Genesis 3, verse 16, when the Lord comes to Eve after the fall and says unto the woman, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And indeed we can extend that when we fell, that the curse of God came upon everything. The curse of God came into this conception process, but it also applies to work. And it applies to labor, because the Lord said after that to Adam in Genesis 3:17, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread." It's speaking of the frustration that Adam now had. The Lord still in his mercy allows us to work. That's a mercy. He still gives us labor. That's a mercy. But the process now is going to be a process of frustration. There's going to be sweat and toil and frustration. And indeed, the whole creation now groans and travails in pain together until now. And indeed, that all reminds us that if we can speak about blessing in this life now, then that comes to us from the mercy of God. That we have forfeited every right. When we go back to Genesis 3 and we see the process of conception and delivery and then work, the whole creation groans. And that's what we see with here with Jabez. I have conceived him, I have bare him in sorrow, in pain. But doesn't that magnify the wonderful grace of God as well? He is still the God who causes the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. He is good to all, as we read. The eyes of all things wait upon him, and he gives them their food in due season. But surely it's highlighting to us again our need for his blessing on all these things. We need his blessing in with our children from the earliest point and right the way through life. We need the Lord's blessing upon that. We need the Lord's blessing in our work when we decide what it is we are to do when we're younger and we're trying to work out what it is that we're going to do. We are to seek the blessing of the Lord in that decision. And then when we work, we're to seek the Lord's blessing in our work and in our study. We need the Lord's blessing. Well, Jabez then is more honorable than his brethren. Now, that idea of being more honorable could mean several things. It could speak about the fact that Jabez was a very wealthy man. It could speak about his military exploits. Some suggest that because he is asking the Lord to enlarge his coasts by military expansion. So some suggest his honor, his glory, if you will, is bound up with his military exploits or maybe his wealth. And it seems that if you would go back to forward to 2 Chronicles 2:55, you would see a city that's named Jabez, and people think that this city is named after this Jabez. The Jews claimed that this Jabez was a great teacher of the law who had a great reputation and a large following after him. And in all these ways, you could say Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. But what we believe this text is highlighting is this, that the greatness, the honor that is upon Jabez is primarily this, that he is a man of prayer. He is a godly man. Jabez prays. And isn't that where true greatness is found? In being a man of God, a woman of God, a godly man, a godly woman, a godly boy or girl, that is where true greatness is to be found. That's not the greatness of the world. The world has its own ideas as to what is great, but this is what is truly great. Matthew Henry says here, the way to be truly great is to be truly good and to pray much. And the greatness then of any home, the greatness of any house, the greatness of any family is the extent to which that house, that home, that family is a house, a home, a family of prayer. That is where the greatness of Jabez, the honorableness of Jabez, lies. That is the blessing. that whether we have much or whether we have little, this is the blessing that will make a little a great feast. You know the Psalm 37, I think it is, that says, a little that a righteous man has is more and better far than is the wealth of many such as lewd and wicked are. That's the blessing we need, the blessing of the Lord. But then let's move to consider Jabez's prayer. And you notice that this prayer is thoroughly God-centered. It is a thoroughly God-centered prayer. Here is a man who fears God. We looked recently at the last Lord's Day evening at the fear of God. And here's a man then who fears God. Here's a man who is God conscious. This is a man who has great wealth, it seems. This is a man who has great reputation. This is a man that it would appear has a city named after him. But this is what makes him more honorable than his brethren. He is a man who with all his heart seeks the blessing of the Lord God of Israel. And that is who then you see him praying to in verse 10. He called on the God of Israel. Not to the gods of Canaan that others were going after. Not to the God of materialism. Not to the Baals and all these other gods that promised wealth, that promised blessing. But they were dead. But he prays to the covenant God of Israel. The living God, the God who hears prayer as we sang, the God who answers prayer, the God of the covenant, the God who blessed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the blessing of Abraham coming now down through Jabez in this line of Judah. He's praying to the covenant God. He's a man for all his wealth. And prosperity outwardly, he is a man who is absolutely dependent upon God. Sometimes you think, don't you, that it's the person who, that it's when we come into our greatest need, when we've been stripped of everything, maybe like Job was, that's the time that we call upon God. But we see here Jabez, earnest in prayer. We see Jabez, though he has already been blessed, he is praying earnestly. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. This is not a cold, formal or formalistic prayer. This is a prayer that has the heartbeat of piety in it. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, says this man who has wealth, who has reputation, who has a city named after him. Oh, that thou, O Lord God, would bless me. Indeed, he is conscious of his need of being blessed. And there is submission in this too. The word there, O, could literally in Hebrew is the word if. If thou wilt bless me. Reminding us of the prayer of Jacob who prayed similarly, if thou wouldst bless me, it's as though he's saying, if thou wilt be God to me, if thou wilt be the God of Israel to me, the covenant God to me, then Jabez is saying, I am thy servant. I put myself under thee. If thou wilt bless me, then I have everything that I need. And the word there indeed is emphasizing the need of blessing. Literally, if thou wouldst bless me by blessing. Oh, he feels his need. And that's a question for us. Do we feel our need of the blessing of the Lord in our work, in our labor, in our day-to-day lives? Is this not a prayer we can take with us? Oh, Lord, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. That thou wouldst bless my family indeed. That thou wouldst bless our church indeed. That thou wouldst bless our nation indeed. That we would know the blessing of the Lord upon us. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. So it's an earnest prayer to the God of Israel. And then he prays that the Lord would enlarge his coasts. That the Lord would enlarge his coasts. Now this is the complete opposite of the rich fool, you remember, in Luke 12, the man who said, "This is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And many in the broader evangelical world have taken this prayer of Jabez and have abused it to make it something like the prayer of the rich fool, as though this was simply a formula for getting more wealth or getting more prosperity or getting up the rung of the ladder, missing the very feeling and the very pathos of Jabez's prayer here. He is praying for an enlargement of the coasts, but unlike the rich fool, this is in obedience to God's command. This is a desire. This is in obedience to God's promise. You have to remember the context here. Jabez has come in, it would appear, to the promised land. That was a land that the Lord had told the people that they were to subdue. They were to put out the Canaanites, the enemies, those that would cause them to stumble and fall spiritually. You're to put them out. You remember that there were some who did not do that and suffered for it. But Jabez here, he is in obedience to the Lord's command. He is praying that the enemies would be put out, that his portion in the land that the Lord has promised, it would be given to him. So Jabez is not idle. Jabez is not lazy. Jabez is not content even with the blessing that he has already. He is not content to sit and do nothing more. Jabez is not taking a very early retirement, as it were. Jabez is praying earnestly, "Lord, bless me indeed and enlarge my coasts." That's going to involve work for Jabez. That's going to involve sweat and toil for Jabez. But he's going to the Lord first, and he's pleading for the Lord's blessing. And spiritually, the land, the promised land, is a picture of the sanctification of the believer, the one who has gone in, has come out of Exodus, come out of Egypt in the Exodus, and has now entered the land. And there are these enemies that we are to fight with and work and strive and sweat to fight off, to kill remaining sin. And we're to take this prayer that the Lord would enlarge our coast, to enlarge our borders spiritually as well, that the Lord would give us greater love, that the Lord would enlarge our heart, that the Lord would increase our faith, that the Lord would give us increased desires after him, that the Lord would enlarge our sanctification. And that's going to involve pain, and it's going to involve difficulty, but it's for the glory of God. And can't we pray too that the Lord would enlarge our influence, that the Lord would enlarge our witness, that the Lord would prosper his work among us, that in our home we would see evidences of the Lord's work there growing, that we would see salvation in our homes, in our churches, at our work. Lord, enlarge the coast. Lord, increase the influence. Lord, give me grace to strive after holiness in such a way that there would be this blessing that's spilling over at every level, individually, at our homes, at our works, in our community, in our nation. Lord, enlarge the coasts of thy people. Lord, increase the borders. Really, this is the Old Testament prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But how will this happen when we are so weak? Well, Jabez prays that thy hand might be with me, that thy hand might be with me. Now, for God to be with someone, it was for him to help them in their struggle or in their fight. It was for God to fight with them. It was for God to be on their side. And again, isn't that such a prayer that we need, that the Lord would be on our side, that that's not just something we would assume is the case just because we come here, but that we would really seek that the Lord is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? But here's Jabez, this godly man, praying, "Lord, that thy hand might be with me, that thou wouldst be on my side, that I would be on thy side first of all." And that we would see that, again, at every level. That we would see it in our own lives. "Lord, that thy power, that thy grace would be evidenced in my life. I have nothing of myself. I have no strength. I have no help of man in myself. I need the Lord. I need his strength. I need his grace. Lord, that thy hand would be with me, that it would be with me as a father to a family, as a mother to the to our children, as an employee in my work, at every level, as elders, as deacons, as adherents, as children in school, working and studying. Lord, that thy hand would be with me, that the Lord would be on my side." If the Lord is on our side, we need not be afraid. We need this grace. We need this help. We have no power of ourselves. But Lord, make us willing in a day of thy power, in a day of thy hand. May thy hand be with us. We need God. We need Christ. We need his blood. We need his grace. We need his hand. We need his power. We need his spirit. And we need that, not just on the Lord's Day, but Monday, when we wake up, when we go to work, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and throughout the whole week. Lord, that thy hand would be with me. Moses prayed, "Lord, let thy work and let thy power appear unto thy servant. And then establish thou the work of our hands upon us." Then he prays that thou wouldest keep me from evil. That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Evil could refer to trouble. It could refer to the enemy that comes from outside. "Lord, keep me from evil." Again, we see this in the Lord's Prayer. "Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one." And again, in our own day, we can start with ourselves and say, there is so much evil in ourselves that we need kept from. "Lord, keep me from myself. Keep me from my own evil heart. Keep me from the trouble outside. Keep me from the evil world that seeks to get into the work and that gets in, seeks to get into our schools and that seeks to get into our churches so subtly often. Lord, keep us from that evil. Show us that evil when it comes. Keep us, protect us from the evil. Keep us from ourselves being a source of evil to others. When we think of work, we live in an age where we have the gods of entertainment, the gods of materialism, the gods of laziness and sloth. Paul, when he writes to the Thessalonians, rebukes them because there are some of you, he says, that are not working. That's your sin. Because just as sacrosanct as the Lord's day is, so is the 6 days of labor. And if any man will not work, neither should he eat. And so we're saying, Lord, keep us from the evils of this day of laziness, this day of seeking to do the absolute bare minimum, as opposed to working with all our might to God's glory and honor, not as men pleasers. That's not the way we do our work. That's one of the evils that we need to be kept from working when our employer is watching, but then slacking off when he is gone. Not as men pleasers, says Paul to the Thessalonians, but as unto the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ, he says. And so, Lord, keep us from evil. And no doubt we can think of many, many, many kinds of evil that have come into society. Keep us from the evil of thy name being taken in vain. We don't believe anyone here would take the name of God in vain, but sometimes is it not true that when we hear it, we're slow to respond with the horror that we ought to respond with? Lord, keep us from that indifference, which is an evil. Keep us from evil, that it may not grieve me, he says. Now, that word there, grieve, is really his own name. It's the same word for sorrow as you have, or at least from the same root as the word sorrow in verse 9. This is his name. His name was a reminder to him of what happened at his birth, but he's saying that it may not grieve me, the evil may not Jabez me. Matthew Poole writes here that Jabez is praying, Lord, let me not have that grief which my name implies and which my sin deserves. Our name is sinner, and we have brought a cup of sorrow to our own lives, and we can pray, Lord, keep us from the evil, and don't give us what we deserve. Don't give us what we deserve. And then we see how the Lord wonderfully answers this prayer. The Lord granted him that which he requested. The word granted is really the word grace, isn't it? It's not because Jabez prayed a certain length of time or with a certain fervency. It's grace, and that was the basis upon which Jabez was praying, and the Lord graced it to him. We don't deserve anything, but the Lord is a God of grace. He is gracious, and the Lord granted him that which he requested. And when you think of that, then we can't but think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who took the Jabez, the sorrow, the cup of sorrow that others would drink. That's why the Lord can take the cup of sorrow, the Jabez, away from Jabez, because it went to Christ and he drank that so that there would be so that the cup of sorrow could be removed from his dear people who he loves. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And young people, you can take this prayer and you can make this prayer your own in your studies, as you work at school. This is a prayer for you. Lord, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, that thou wouldst enlarge my coast, that thou wouldst give me a new heart and make me a godly person, that my influence would be an influence for good from my youth, and that the Lord would keep you from evil. And the Lord, we read here, he graced him that which he requested. God answers prayer. And indeed, the whole book of Chronicles is a book about answered prayer. Solomon prays that prayer that if we sin, but yet we look to that temple, then the Lord will hear in heaven and forgive. And the Lord answers that prayer. And there's Abijah and Jehoshaphat and Rehoboam and Manasseh and on and on in Chronicles. This is a theme that runs right through it. God hears and God answers prayer. And then as we think of our Lord Jesus here in conclusion, how this little gem tucked away, as it were, here in Chronicles, points forward to him, the one who was more honorable than all his brethren, fairer than the sons of men, the one who was eminent for piety. He was pious, Hebrews 5 says. He was heard in that he feared, that he was pious. This is the one who spent nights in prayer to his Father, the God of Israel. This is the one who enlarged his coast not by Satan's suggestion and the temptation, but by going to his heavenly Father, who had said, "Ask of me, and I will enlarge your coast. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance." And that's what the Lord Jesus is doing now in heaven. He's saying, "Lord, enlarge my coast. Give me this sinner. Give me that sinner. Enlarge my coast." And what a glorious Savior is pictured here in 1 Chronicles 4. So we conclude then, the great thing as we pray for crops and as we pray for harvest and as we pray for food, and as we pray for our work, and as we pray for our families, we ought to pray for these things. But with them we're praying that the Lord would bless us. That's our great need, isn't it? At every level, and in church, and wherever we go, the Lord's blessing to be upon us that makes rich and adds no sorrow. And even though we have a little, as Charles Spurgeon says here, "Oh, that we may be rich in faith. And if not blessed with these external favors, may we be blessed spiritually, and then we shall be blessed indeed. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, that thou wouldst enlarge my coasts, that thy right hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. Let us pray.